Hello, and welcome back to Battle Plan, a podcast entirely focused on spiritual warfare. I'm Steve Hemphill, and Battle Plan is an ongoing discussion of how we put our faith into action. The website's active-faith.org. Today, we're doing a third part with Kirsten Novak and her son, Isaac, and we're also going to let him be involved in the storytelling. Today, they've got so many interesting stories of things that happened as they've been battling the unseen enemies through spiritual warfare. And it's been fun to share these things. So let me turn it over to you and let you and Isaac give us the next part of the story today.
All right, well, it's Isaiah,
Oh,
so
sorry, Isaiah.
that's okay, no worries. It happens all the time. Well, yeah, we're glad to be here. Since staking our property, we've really seen God show up in some pretty miraculous ways. And so I know we were talking about Isaiah's story, and his story happened a year ago this past June. So he has a pretty miraculous story of how the Lord showed up and we believe sent an angel to rescue him. And so he had a pretty bad dirt bike accident the first week of summer, and which landed him in the PICU in pretty critical condition. So, Isaiah, why don't you start us off with a little bit about your day of the dirt bike accident?
So, yeah, that day, like my mom said, it was like the first week of summer. And actually, I was at a birthday party before that, and we played kickball. Then, when I got home, I was just really bored. So, me and my sister went on the dirt bike, and she brought the helmet down. She only brought hers, and I wanted to go first. So, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna go without a helmet. So I went without a helmet the one time, and we have this path. It's pretty bumpy. It's really fun. I don't really remember how I fell off, but I was just like on the ground. And then I remember, there he was, a man full of light and a beam of light behind him. He said, "Do not be afraid, Isaiah, I need you to get up. You are going to be okay."
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he then, so after that, he comes into the house and he's crying. And I work from home and I was on a Zoom call actually for work. And my oldest daughter was here and he's talking to her, but I hear him crying, but it didn't sound like he was hurt. And so I texted her as I'm on this call and I'm like, "Hey, is he okay? What's going on?" And she's like, "He says he can't remember stuff. And I don't know, he seems like scared about something." I don't know, typical 15-year-old response. And I'm thinking, okay, he was supposed to be doing math because, see, we're still homeschooling through the summer at this point. And so I'm thinking, oh, he probably can't remember how to do his math problems. That's the first thing I remember thinking he, maybe was upset about. And I was like, "I'll be down in a few minutes. I'm almost done with this call." So I come downstairs and he's really upset. He's really scared. And he just keeps saying, "Mom, I don't remember stuff. Like, I can't, what do we do today?" And I'm like, "Remember you had that birthday party?" And he's like, "Yeah, but how did I get home?" And I'm like, "What do you mean, how did you get home?" And he's like, I don't remember how I got home. How did I get here?" And like, "I'm scared, Mom. And I saw this man." And I said, "You saw this man?" And I'm thinking automatically, like, this is after we've staked our property. Whenever the kids say, "We see a man," I'm thinking, "Oh no, what now?" And he's, "No, Mom, I saw this man. I think it was like Jesus or God or an angel. I don't know. But he spoke to me and he said, 'Don't be afraid. You're gonna be okay. But you need to get up.'" And I said, wait, what?" I said, "Were you on the dirt bike?" And he's like, "Yeah." And I said, "Okay, did you fall off the dirt bike?" And he goes, "I don't know. I don't know." And he's just panicking and he's pacing. And then I'm like, "Okay, let me look at your head. I see no evidence of a head injury. I see a few, like his shirt is dirty, like on his shoulder, and he's got some specks of dirt on his face." And I'm like, "You know what? Let's get you to deep breathe. Let's go take a bath. Let's go calm down. Let's see if we can just kind of figure out what happened here." So we do that, and he's still just really upset. Like, I'm scared, Mom. I'm so scared. Like, how did I get home? I don't remember getting home. And he just kept saying that. And this man, and he was really confused. And as he's in the bath, you know, I'm cleaning him up, looking all over, seeing if there's an injury. And I don't see anything really obvious. And then he gets out of the bathtub and he's walking towards the door in the bathroom. And he tries to open the door from the opposite side of the door. Okay, the
Yeah.
kid 9.5 years old, almost 10. He knows how to open the door, you know, the correct way. And I'm like, buddy, what are you doing? He's like, I don't know. I'm trying to open the door. And he can't open the door because he's not even grabbing the door on the right side of the door handle.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, let's get your shoes on. Let's get figured out. We're gonna have to go to urgent care or something. And so he's sitting there on the couch, and I'm like, okay, let me just get some things together. We're gonna go. And in the meantime, I call over to urgent care, and they're like, you know what? You need to get him to the hospital. This just sounds, you know, like maybe a concussion or something. And I'm looking up concussions, and I'm thinking, this doesn't seem like a concussion. You know, like he's so confused that it was just so interesting. And as we're there, I said, let's get your shoes on. And he can't figure out how to put his shoes on. Like he can't put his shoes
Wow.
on at all.
Wow.
Then we're in the car and he's like, I'm really hot. I'm really hot. So he puts the window down and I'm like, here's some water. And he has a bottle of water and he's trying to drink the water and he can't reach his mouth. His mouth and the water just can't connect.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, buddy, like I'm getting there as fast as I can. By the time we had gotten to the hospital, he could no longer have function in his legs. He could not make his legs work. He couldn't get out of the car. We had to get him in a wheelchair. We rushed him into the ER. They took one look at him and immediately took him back, got him in for a CT. And by the time they did the CT, he comes out of the CT, and then he's just lost all cognitive function, basically. And the CT scan did not show like a brain bleed, but they're thinking he obviously had a concussion. But at this point, his pulse oxygen level was going down to the 60s. So every time he would start to drip, they gave him some medicine to try to calm him down because he was nothing but screaming. He kept repeating the same phrase. He ripped out his IV. He was trying to get out of the bed. He was not conscious that anybody was with him. And he was just completely like not himself, obviously, and not with it. Couldn't answer questions, couldn't tell you his name. It was just terrifying. And so, anyways, as this went on, they're calling over to ICU because they're thinking because of his pulse oxygen that they may have to vent him. And so it's a long way from the ER all the way to the PICU. So the doctor who's in there assisting, she's like, okay, here's what we're gonna do. You're gonna jump on the bed with him because we have to run and we have to roll him down the hallways. And he's screaming and he won't, you know, he's totally out of control and has no awareness of what's happening. But he's been trying to, and they had him strapped down, but we just had to keep him calm. So I jump on the bed with him. My husband's there at this point, and we're rushing him down to the PICU. The doctors down there did not have to vent him, thank the Lord. His pulse oxygen started to kind of come back, and they were able to give him some stuff to kind of calm his body down so his brain could relax and
Yeah.
start to heal. And it wasn't until probably about midnight. Yeah, probably about midnight, he starts to kind of snap out of it a little bit. And this whole time, he's had no recollection that we were there. He has no recollection of being in the hospital. And all of a sudden, he has his big, beautiful eyes and he's like, Mom, Dad. And I'm like, he's like, you're here. And I was like, yeah, we've been here the whole time. And he had no idea. He's like, what am I doing here? And he said, Mom, but the first thing he said was, Mom, I gotta tell you about the man. I gotta tell you about the man. And I had told the nurse because since he was in the PICU, they had a nurse with us the entire night that night to monitor him.
Yeah,
So I
yeah.
had told this nurse what had happened and that he had said, I saw Jesus or God or an angel or something. So she was really intrigued. So she's standing there and she's like, I heard him talk about him. Like I heard him talk about the man. And she starts telling about the man that he saw. And then the next day, all these doctors came in. They're trying to figure out, because he's having arrhythmia too during this episode. They're doing all these tests and all the things. And he probably saw, it's a big research hospital. And so he probably saw 20 different residents that came in. He got to share his story with. And some of them were like, whoa, this is amazing. Others were like, oh, I mean, it's probably, brain, inflammation.
Hallucinations.
And they wanted to, like, they couldn't fully tell that it was a serious concussion. They're like, this is the worst concussion we've ever seen at the hospital, and this is the biggest hospital in Iowa. And but they're like, dude, there has to be another cause. Like, this was so severe for a concussion. And they like were like, we're gonna get toxicology in here. Maybe he got into some sort of farm chemicals, or to have this type of response and this elusive dream of an angel and all these things, They couldn't. I'm like, go ahead, sure, go do all your tests. And everything came back clear, of course. And I'm like, whatever. But so after being in the hospital that day, that night, whatever, we were able to go home later that evening, after the next day. And that next morning, he's like, Mom, Dad, I really want to walk down on the dirt bike path and see if I can remember more about what I saw. So, Isaiah, why don't you share a little bit more about that?
So we were walking down on the path, and like I said, it was a bumpy path. And we were walking on the bumpy path, and I saw this big stick. And I'm like, wait a minute, that looks familiar. Then I remember there was like trees in the background. I'm like, those trees look familiar. Then, like a minute later, I look up, I see an airplane flying like high up, right? And I'm like, when I saw this man, there's like a beam of light that was way higher than that,
From the
like
airplane.
way higher than the airplane. And like, when I was driving the dirt bike, I think I might have like hit that big stick. And when you're playing like Mario Kart, and like sometimes like if you get out of control, it goes like wonky, right? And it kind of felt like that. But then I was just on the ground. And our dirt bike, it's kind of weird. If you don't like push the gas in the last like 5 seconds, it'll just turn off. Like it will just turn off. Like, yeah. And at the time, I was just not like, at the time, I was just not strong enough to like start it by myself.
Like pole start it. So you wouldn't, so the dirt bike is basically off. We're thinking there's no way that this dirt bike could have started. It would have turned off once he hit the ground. And then he wasn't strong enough to pole start it, right? So then what, how do you think you got home?
Well, when I saw like the guy, I think like he like pole started it for me, and like I don't really like remember how I got back,
Yeah, but you said
but
you.
like I kind of remember like going back, but I like when I was going back, I wasn't the one driving it. Like, yeah.
He kind of felt like somebody else was driving it for him. But
Yeah,
the and
that
the
he was just the
interesting,
passenger.
yeah,
the interesting thing is my siblings were outside and they saw me, and like no one was there.
And but then also that when we went out to, so when he had come in and I was like, well, where's the dirt bike? And the dirt bike was perfectly on the sidewalk, parked with the kickstand down. Okay. So I love my son, but he does not ever put the dirt bike on the kickstand. He just lays it on the ground. Okay. And it's sitting there, and I'm thinking, huh, okay, that's interesting. So he kind of felt like something else was driving it, and he made it back, but he was not the one driving.
And the
So,
one who was driving it took better care of it than he did, even put the kickstand down.
yeah.
Wow. What an awesome story. There were some podcasts that do nothing but focus on angel stories like this. And I know they're gonna love hearing this. Some of the ones I've told in the past, they've just put on their website too. One of the ones I told about the angels in Nashville at the school shooting, another guy put it on his website and had 3 million views just on that one video. And my name's not on it anywhere, but obviously we're just trying to help the kingdom, so that's not important anyway. Well, thank you so much, Isaiah, for sharing that. Thank you both for being on the show again today. And there may be other stories for future shows that we'll have you back for. But thank you for your faithfulness and for giving God the credit. And we want to praise him now and thank him for your recovery and for that it not being a permanent serious injury of any type, because it could have been much more serious. It could have been death too. God spared you. So I'm going to say right now that God has big plans for you and your life, for the kingdom and for the future. And that that when he sees somebody with the potential to make a difference with the kingdom, that's often when you see angels intervene. You see it all through the Bible. So keep that in mind as you make your life decisions. And we look forward to seeing what you grow up to become. Okay.
Oh, he wants to tell you what he wants to be. He feels like
okay,
God has
great.
Told
yeah,
him
tell us.
What
tell us.
He wants to be when he grows up.
Well, since I was like six-ish, I've always wanted to be a pastor.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. You'll have a lot of great stories, pastor stories to tell, mm-hmm. and that'll be one of them. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank y'all. Thank you for being with us today, all you guests that are here from all over the world. Last I looked, there were 155 countries that were downloading and viewing these podcasts. So we give all glory to God for this story and for connecting us. And we want to remind you to keep praying, because prayer works. God loves you, and I love you. Have a great day.